You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. It is, as ever, good to have your company. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you this week, and we'll speak about the WGC Mexico Championship and the Puerto Rico Open in due course. Joining me on Skype this morning, Dave Tindall, a good morning to you, sir.
Hello, Dave. It's sunny this morning here where I am. Well, it was snowing, I think, last week.
Where are you? Where are you in the world?
In a place called Saltaire in West Yorkshire. Lovely place.
Describe Saltaire to people that aren't from West Yorkshire, Dave.
It's a World Heritage Site. Ah. It's I live in one of the houses that the workers used to live in.
Very nice.
It's like a model village. Yeah, very nice. Come very and visit good. It. With my bit for the Saltaire and you're community there.
You're on taxi duty this week, so not live with me in the studio.
Yeah, it's not actually a paid second job. It's my children. All dads will know that their children, once they start hitting a little bit older, they just want to be ferried around. So that's my standing in life this week.
Let's talk about last week in the golfing world. Adam Scott winning again at Riviera. Came into it off a pretty lengthy absence, but he showed, I think, the importance of his success in the Australian PGA Championship. And Scott's one of those players that he never really seems to need the outing.
No, I think he'd had 8 weeks off, hadn't he? So played in the President's Cup as well, hadn't he? So, I mean, I'm trying to sort of wind back and think, did that slightly put me off that he'd had 8 weeks off? Because on course form, you're definitely on him. But I think it's something I'll start to sort of start downgrading as a sort of negative, because we've seen Tiger, when he won in Japan, had had no tournament for weeks and weeks. Yeah. Lee Westwood came out and wins Abu Dhabi. Adam Scott. I mean, and these are all sort of older guys. So you think maybe, what's the argument that they're so ingrained that they don't need the practice?
That might be it.
Yeah. I mean, the other argument would be, well, they're knocking on a bit. They need to sort of get the rust from the bones kind of thing. But say three recent examples of top stars just coming out and winning off the bat. So I'm certainly going to keep that in mind as something that happens.
And you mentioned on this podcast Sung Kang last week, who finished second and had a reasonable chance to win down the stretch as well. And I know you didn't put him up on the podcast, Dave, but he was definitely one that you mentioned.
Yeah, Sung Kang. He is a funny player. You kind of watch him. He's one of those ones you better watch in the leaderboard than actually him, because he sort of doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. He's got that slow backswing where he just sort of stops.
Yeah.
And when he hits a bad shot, I mean, everyone hits bad shots, but sometimes if, you know, Louis Oosthuizen or Adam Scott hits a bad shot, the swing still looks lovely. But with him, it just looks like, well, it was always going to be missing the fairway if he swing it like that. But yeah, he did very well, because I thought he'd blown his chance, but he played the last something like 14 holes in 4 under. And coming down the stretch, I mean, had Adam Scott not been slightly on it, we could have been looking at a 4 or 5 way playoff. So it was it was a really good event, that one. I enjoyed it.
Oh, I think the golf course is fantastic, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
I think it is the, maybe in terms of regular PGA Tour stops, it is the course that inspires most affection from my from a personal perspective. I just think it looks fantastic, and it's a difficult course, but it's not a course that's so long, and it doesn't rely on its length in terms of difficulty.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've got Scott winning with 11 under. He's the only guy in double digits under par. So, you know, you don't have to have 8,000-yard golf courses. You can use these classic pieces of land and just kind of tweak it here and there. So, isn't it hosting the US Open or something soon?
I'm not sure, to be honest, Dave.
Or the Olympics as well, even. Yeah. They've talked about it. But, yeah, it deserves its place right up there in the courses. But I do like the one in Mexico, which we'll come on to, I guess.
Yeah, let's speak about the... Well, just a final word on the coverage. Did you watch on Sunday night, Dave?
I did, yes.
I thought it was appalling. CBS have taken a lot of flack for the coverage on Twitter, but I just thought it was embarrassing, the lack of the shots we got to see of the leaders, those guys in contention, then missing Harold Varner hitting the hitting the big yeah. ball before the small ball on 10.
That would have been good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I thought CBS made a horlicks of it, to be honest.
Has anyone put up a footage of Harold Varner? Does it exist anywhere?
I think it was on the American coverage about 90 minutes after it happened, but I never saw it on the UK coverage at all.
No, I didn't. I mean, it was slightly different for me because I was watching it on my laptop, which is obviously delayed, so I wasn't sure how,
yeah,
you know, quite what I was watching. But you're saying just this,
the
dispersion
shots,
of
yeah,
shots
the shots and, were out of order. The leaderboard yeah. popping up before you saw it was just poor. It really was.
Why do you think that sort of thing happens? Because everyone sort of jumps on it when it does, but I always like to think, well, what? They're not surely trying to make it terrible, so why is it then?
I've got no idea. It seems to me that maybe they were just stretched in terms of their actual ability to show.
A few people on holiday, that kind of thing, like you skiing.
Exactly,
they're all skiing
sort of
with you. Maybe, it's a bit rich, isn't it, coming from you?
Maybe it was that. But yeah, I think CBS rightly took a lot of the heat for that on Sunday night.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose with golf, unlike any other sport, you've got
a wide area to cover, haven't you?
54 fields of play, I think. You've got 18 tee shots, 18 shots from the fairway, 18 greens. There's a lot going on, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, yeah.
So slight defence there of the industry, but because everyone else goes the other way.
Let's talk about the Mexico Championship then, this World Golf Championship this week. And Rory McIlroy at the top of the betting at 6-1. Dustin Johnson is 7s. John Rahm 10-1. Justin Thomas is 10-1. Webb Simpson in the market 18s, along with Hideki Matsuyama and Adam Scott. Xander Schauffele is 20-1, along with Tommy Fleetwood. And it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. There are a few absentees this week, which isn't a massive surprise, given that it lands in this part of the schedule where players have played in California, looking forward to the Florida swing, and it's in Mexico as well. I think it's twofold the reason for the absentees, given that Brooks Koepka isn't there. Got no Patrick Cantlay, Ricky Fowler, Jason Day, Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose have all opted to skip this. I think it is the position in the schedule, and I think a lot of it's got to do with the golf course as well, Dave, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, a few of those mentioned, you mentioned Americans or top line players. I looked at the breakdown of the 17, we've only been going 3 years this tournament. I looked at the 17 players who'd had the top five there over these 3 years. And you've got 11 what you'd call European tour players, either they're European or they play predominantly on that tour, such as Kudash Offibarnrat, who's come in the top 10 twice. You've got five like world class, absolute worldy Americans: Dustin Johnson twice, Justin Thomas twice, and Mickelson. Mm. And then you've got a category of one involving Brian Harman, who has got his own category of left-handed plodders called Brian Harman. But so you can see why some of them, you can see why Brooks Koepka skipped it, I would say, because you can't just bomb it. And you probably sort of read some of the quotes. The Tommy Fleetwood, maybe the best of them, has said it reminds him of a European tour track, tree-lined. Yeah. He said some of the courses in Italy kind of do that, and it bears it out. Sometimes they say that kind of thing, but if you look at the results, that's exactly how it's kind of panned out, really.
Do you think it's a course that deserves to host a World Golf Championship? It is a little bit quirky. It only measures, it measures 7,345 yards on the scorecard, but in reality, because of the altitude in Mexico, it plays to a yardage of around about 6,700 yards. Is that is this golf course in Chapultepec, is it a golf course worthy of a World Golf Championship?
Well, in the sense that maybe there are some others out there that could do it, or there are plenty of others out there could do it. But I like it in terms of its difference, because you don't just want another long American course. I mean, that was slightly the problem when Brooks kept winning majors. It's just kind of like, well, he was sort of bound to if he was playing great because they all suited him.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is something different. I think this opens it up a bit more to the field. So, yeah, I think why not?
And you look at the course, and because it's tree-lined and there are dog legs, and you think short hitters would have an advantage here, or not an advantage, but would be able to compete with the longer hitters. But we've seen Dustin Johnson win it twice, Phil Mickelson win it the other year. It's hosted this event. And that's because a lot of the longer players can cut off these dog legs as well, Dave, to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think Justin Thomas said that, didn't he? You can sort of, you know, bypass them. So, yeah, I think it does open it up to different sorts of players. So when you say, does it deserve it? I think any course that, you know, challenges a wider group of players, I think is a good one.
I've got two picks.
I've got three.
Okay, I'll let you fire away.
Yeah, I'm going to start with Matthew Fitzpatrick, my first pick. I'd like his 50s. Price at 50 to 1. Obviously, he fits the bill as being a European Tour player. Just trying to look back at some of the courses he's done well on. His very first win came at Woburn, which is famously tree-lined. So that kind of put a little mark next to him. He's won twice at Crans, which is obviously tree-lined, up in the mountains at altitude. So you just start to sort of build a case, and then you look at his last two WGCs. He's finished fourth at St Jude, seventh in the HSBC, and last year's majors. It's quite rare that a player just simply makes the cut in all four majors, but he did really well in them, all four. Just solid performances in all four majors. So I think he's really getting, you know, finding his straps at this level. He can compete with the best, and I think on this course he's got more of a chance than some of the others, because I don't think his qualities are sort of dimmed as much. I mean, he's played it a few times, Fitzpatrick. Hasn't quite set the world on fire, but it's fairly solid. He's 16th on debut, 30th, and then 26th. So if you look at his round scores, he's just got a slight, you know, poor one or modest one each year where he's shot over par. So I think he's close to putting it together. And wouldn't it be nice if he finally gets a win? Because he's got, you talk about sort of golf tips as having second-itis or whatever, but he is Mr. Second Place at the minute, isn't he?
He needs one, doesn't he?
Four last year. He's opened up with another one in Abu Dhabi this time. And this, it's just, sometimes it's just the way it falls, isn't it? You can't, one of those, I think he, was it the one in Germany, the European? There's one in Germany where he should have
won. He's given one away, hasn't he, definitely?
Yeah. But at the time, just other people have outscored him. I mean, he shot a final around 67 in Abu Dhabi, so he didn't do anything wrong there. So he's very, very capable of getting in this, I think. And he played at Riviera last week, and I quite like it. I think that sort of sways me a little bit because that's got similar grass types. Yeah. So he's coming from the States to Mexico, less time lag or anything like that. Solid enough, 30th last week. Not a great final round, but, you know, had he played a nice final round, we would have been talking about someone who would have been coming in on a top 10, top 15. So I think the form is sort of slightly hidden, but it's not too hidden. And as I say, second in Abu Dhabi only last month. I think Fitzpatrick at 50 to 1 on this course, I think, is a good play.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm looking at the Europeans this week as well as offering a little bit of value in the betting markets.
Yeah.
I really like Sergio Garcia at 45 to 1.
Well, he's my second one, so you go, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's an outstanding bet. I'm going to up my stake slightly this week to 1.5 points each way as well. I just think that 45s is fantastic. He loves the course.
Yeah.
That's borne out by his results in Mexico in this event. 12th, 7th and 6th in his three outings, and he's in decent form currently as well, having finished 8th in Abu Dhabi and 6th in Saudi Arabia before returning to the PGA Tour at Riviera last week and finishing in 37th. And I think that 37th place finish masks the quality of his performance. That form's slightly hidden because he was very good tee to green, but the putter just didn't fire last week. And I know these surfaces are similar to what the players encountered last week in California, but Garcia, he loves these greens. He's always putted well at this event in Chapultepec. And I think if his ball striking remains intact, he's going to have a fantastic week, Garcia. And I thought 45s was... I was very happy with 45s.
Yeah, I mean, he could almost be that price with just sort of modest course form. And yet it's really good course form, isn't it? 12.76, getting better every year.
Yeah.
Never shot over par on this course, almost always in the 60s. And it's just his kind of track, isn't it? If Sergio won here, you'd say absolutely that makes sense, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's your piece that you've written for Roto World, Dave. You've put some quotes in there. You've mentioned a few of them already. And Garcia says that this course reminds him of Valderrama in terms of its tree line, small greens, and he clearly loves playing here.
Absolutely, yeah. And of course, he gets to speak Spanish in Mexico. Always
absolutely good. Okay, so we're both on board with Garcia this week. Who's your third pick?
I've got another Spaniard.
Cabrera Bayo,
yeah. 80-1. I thought that was quite a big price.
I'm going with him as well as my second pick.
Yeah. Right.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Well, not too bizarre, hopefully.
No, hopefully not.
Solid reasoning, yeah. He's got the course form, hasn't he? 38th on debut, first look. Then a really good third place in 2018. And then he was 19th last year. But you need to sort of look at that again because he opened with a 76.
Yeah.
So he was sort of nowhere after round one. But I was quickly comparing him to some of the other players. And I looked at and found out he shot 10 under on the week, 10 under for the final 54 holes, which was better than McIlroy, who was runner-up. And 11 under was third. So, you know, his final 54 holes were just about as good as anyone apart from DJ, who just won by a mile. So definitely likes the course, fits into the idea of Europeans doing well. He's played well in Italy before, which is similar and tree-lined. And then I liked his warm-up last week, tied 17th in the Genesis Invitational, was first in driving accuracy. And I think if you find the fairways here in Mexico, that's going to be a big help. So he's a player, isn't he? He doesn't win so much, but 80-1, you don't necessarily, you know, spend the week cursing if he doesn't. He can run into a place, and he's proved he can do that in big events. Seen him do that in the Players' Championship in majors before, in WGCs, you know, even here, third place. So I thought, all in all, I was expecting when I scrolled through the prices, he'd be a bit shorter than 80s, but so I was happy to take that.
Yeah, I think if his iron plays a little bit sharper this week, he'll be banging the mix. And I know we always talk about the putter with Rafa Cabrera Bayo not firing, and it holds him back. He's actually gained more strokes on the field than anyone putting in the Mexico Championship at Chapultepec. So I think that augurs well for this week. And I know you kind of feel like with Cabrera Bayo, you're burning your win stake a little bit, don't
yeah.
you? But 80-1 gives you a lot to play for from an each way perspective as well.
Yeah, exactly. You never know, do you? He might get it done. But as you say, 80-1, I was thinking 66 is tops maybe for someone with that course form, especially with the one last year. I think if you were pricing that up and you'd looked a bit more carefully at how that 19th came about, I think you could have had reason to make him a bit shorter. So, yeah, I like him. So two Spaniards for you and me.
Yep, absolutely. Garcia and Cabrera Bayo, and you're throwing Fitzpatrick into the mix as well. Let's talk about some of the guys at the top of the betting. Rory McIlroy, 6-1. Disappointing Sunday to overcome.
Yeah, he just didn't have it, did he, last time on Sunday? It was kind of that McIlroy from a couple of years ago when he got into position and then sort of went a bit flat. He could win, couldn't he? I don't know.
Not much juice in that, is it?
I can let him go at 6-1, to be honest.
Does DJ tempt you at 7-1?
It does, because I think you could say, oh, he didn't do very well in the last round last week, but I think his underlying numbers were pretty strong in Riviera. But he was, double the price almost, 12s
yeah.
last
he,
week?
He was double, yeah.
On a course where he's got a great record as well. So he's, he could do.
A slightly stronger field last week in California, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, his course form is 171, and he was 5 clear of second last year and 10 clear of third, so he can demolish field. fields, but I don't know. It just seems to be something slightly missing, or he's building back.
I think that the wedge game wasn't as strong on Sunday as I anticipated, because he
was like hooking wedges. Yeah, wasn't
he struggled with the driver throughout the week, and that came back on Sunday, and he put the ball in position down the stretch to really do some damage and take that golf tournament by the scruff of its neck, and he didn't capitalise, which is unlike Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, I mean he had quite a lengthy break. And he's come back. He's made a better job of coming back from his injury than Koepka has. But yeah, I still think maybe he's just tweaking bits here and there ahead of the Masters, to be honest, or even just the Florida swing.
Justin Thomas and John Rahm, both 10-1. Rahm,
Rahm's not right.
No, he was out of sorts with his game last week, definitely.
I mean, he can still sort of get 10th by playing bang average, but his putter saved him last week. He was 17th, but for his putter, he would have been midfield. Thomas's stats last week were terrible. Yeah. Everything was bad, so I don't really know what. I mean, he's real boom or bust, isn't he, this season?
I saw some of the early coverage when he was in the featured group alongside Tiger on Thursday, and he was struggling to keep the ball on the planet at points. Yeah.
I mean, what's he gone? First miscut, third miscut so far this season. So you could say he's due a good one, but. Yeah, I mean, he's got the course for him. I don't know. Something just doesn't seem right. At 10-1, I don't want those sort of doubts.
Honourable mentions elsewhere. I thought the second tier behind the four players we mentioned was more interesting. I liked Xander Schauffele a lot at 20-1, closely considered him. Just a little worry about his short game at the moment, not being razor sharp, and you are going to miss greens here. So that concerned me. And he's not putting well, Schauffele, so that was enough to put me off at 20s, and Tommy Fleetwood at 20-1, that's been squeezed a little bit in the last 24 hours or so.
Yeah, I think Ben Coley put him up, Tommy Fleetwood, is that right?
Yeah.
I do really like Fleetwood. I think if I'd had a fourth pick, or I'm doing some fantasy selections, he's I have to think about Fleetwood. I mean, he finished last season on fire, didn't he? First and second, and almost came through and won the race to Dubai. And then he started off with a second in Abu Dhabi, 11th in Dubai. Course form here is runner-up on debut, 14th and 19th. Mm. I think of the front bunch, is six in the betting maybe? Top? Well, it's eights, actually.
Yeah.
Of the top eight, yeah. I know you said it's been squeezed, but I still think he's the one who offers the best value at in that top bunch of 20s.
Yeah, I was with Fleetwood or Schauffele as those guys in the top 10 in the betting. And I do like Bryson DeChambeau this week as well. I think his numbers look really good at the moment. I can definitely see him. Well, it wouldn't take much for him to improve on last year's finish, would it? DeChambeau finished down the field.
I think someone pressed the wrong button and they were saying it was sort of taking away 10% for the altitude and he got it all wrong.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic with him, though, isn't it? With someone that puts so much stock in the numbers then being thrown by altitude. And he got better as the week went on last year. He's just sneaking under the radar a little bit, isn't he, DeChambeau? I can see him having a big, big Florida swing.
Yes, I certainly look for him as the season goes on. One of the most interesting quotes I read about this course was from Tiger when he said, because it's at altitude, he can't curve the ball because there's no resistance from the air to sort of do it.
Yeah.
Which goes against someone like Bubba. You might look at Bubba and think, he's been in quite good form, although he missed a cut Riviera, 55. I think Bubba will be bemused by not being able to bend shots.
I think it is an interesting price on Bubba Watson, though, because you think about it happens so often, a player that's so highly touted one week and misses a cut and then drifts
certainly that
in
element,
the
yeah.
There is definitely
he's
that
not,
element with
yeah,
Watson.
Yeah, he's not gone at the game, has he, just because he missed a cut?
And he's
like,
what was he last week, 20, 22, 25, and this week he's 55 in a weaker field.
Yeah, definitely.
A couple of bigger
prices I looked at were Bernd Wiesberger at 100s and Kurt Kitayama at 100s. Both played well in last year's, well, Wiesberger won it last year's Italian Open.
Yeah.
Kitayama's got some good form on tree line courses. And he was 18th at Pebble, which sort of slightly escaped me. Six in Dubai. So Kitayama, if you're going for guys who perform well on European style courses, those two at 100s, given what they did last year on the race to Dubai, and they were on the standings.
Yeah.
Two of Europe's best players, and here they are under 2-1.
Very good. Should we talk about the Puerto Rico Open?
We can. I've not got a bet, though, I have to say.
I've got one bet, actually, in the event.
Oh,
so
nice
we'll have a quick spin through the betting here. Victor Hovland is 11-1, Alex Noren 16s, Tom Lewis 20s, Patrick Rogers 22s, along with Maverick McNealy. Scott Brown is also 22-1 after his good performance last week at Riviera. Emiliano Grillo is 25s, along with Cameron Davis and Chesson Hadley. And it's 28-1 and bigger the remainder. I know a lot of punters, Dave, like the alternate event, prefer it to the main event some weeks as far as the betting is concerned. And the host venue is Cocoa Beach Golf and Country Club. It's hosted this event since its inception back in 2008. The course is pretty easy unless the wind really blows like it did in 2015 when Alex Checker won with a total of 7 under par. It's a par 72, measures 7,500 yards, but a lot of that yardage is taken up by a couple of the par 5s. And I was just looking for players that have played coastal tracks well in the past, and I wouldn't say coming into the event in tip-top form is necessarily a prerequisite here because a lot of players are dropping in class. But I thought it was an interesting event, and the wind is set to blow 3 of the 4 days as well, which adds another element to things as well.
I'm intrigued then by who you're going to pick, because there's some, you know, prices at the front of the market we think are fairly horrible. So what's your price range, I'll guess?
I'm going with a player that is in the price range from 50 to 66. I think it would take something special to guess the pick, I think.
Yes. Peter Uline, I don't know.
No, I'm going with Tim Wilkinson at 60-1. I'm taking a little bit of a flyer, and I'm hoping there's going to be the wind that's forecast is going to materialise, because Wilkinson's such a good wind player and he's been in solid form on the PGA Tour recently, and I'm thinking he can feature this week. It's fair to describe Wilkinson, I think, as a journeyman, but some of his best results have come in tournaments where the wind can be a factor. He's been second in the Texas Open, 6th at Harbour Town in the past as well. And he just comes into this in decent enough form. He's made 5 of his last 6 cuts on the tour, finished a very respectable tie for 25th at Pebble Beach on his latest outing. And he was very strong tee to green in his 2 rounds at Pebble. And I'm hoping he can continue that form and bring it onto a course in which he's had success in the past. 6th in Puerto Rico in 2008, and his last 2 starts at the course have yielded finishes of 21st and 17th. And I thought 60-1... it could go well at a decent price this week. So Tim Wilkinson, my only selection here at 60-1.
Yeah, very good. So I mean, before I looked at the prices, I was thinking, I wonder what Tom Lewis is, because this might suit him if it's windy.
Yeah.
But then there is 20-1 third favourite. I'm not surprised he's third favourite, but
yeah, I think there's a few players up there that you think they could, in the end, make their way onto contending in PGA Tour events. Obviously, the top 2 in the market, Hovland and Noren, have done that before.
Yeah.
I looked at Maverick McNealy and Matthew Naismith as a couple that could do that, and Joseph Bramlett as well was one that interests me at 50-1, but I've decided to go with one of the veterans this week.
Yeah, Mr. Shet, well, the one with the sort of most consistent course form is Scott Brown, but he's blown his price by finishing runner-up last week.
I don't think 22s is bad, though, on Scott Brown this week, either in this field.
You don't.
I can see why people would look at 22-1 and think, I'm not having any of that on a player like Scott Brown of his quality. But to come in and play so well at Riviera and have such strong course form, including a win at the track, I don't think you can go much bigger on him this week.
Yeah, I'm not surprised where he is, but I'm not sure I would feel comfortable within myself backing Scott Brown at 22s.
Fair enough. Player you don't want to win? I've not done this for a few. Would it be Tommy Fleetwood, perhaps?
Yeah, or DJ, I think, as obvious as they are.
Yeah, I think mine would be Bryson DeChambeau at 25-1. I think he's almost
there.
He's
so rare.
I think he's ready to win, again. And it might come in Florida, you never know. Dave, do you want to recap your selections for this week?
Yeah, so I'll go a point each way on these 3 players. Sergio Garcia at 45-1, Matthew Fitzpatrick at 50-1, and Rafa Cabrera Bello at 80-1.
Yeah, we're matching on a couple here. I'm going to 1.5 points each way on Sergio Garcia at 45-1. I think he's the standout bet this week. And the other Spaniard, Rafa Cabrera Bello, I'll play him a point each way at 80-1. And I'll slightly scale back my stake on Tim Wilkinson and just play him a half a point each way at 60-1 this week as my sole selection in Puerto Rico. Dave, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
You can follow us both on Twitter, please do, at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. Let us know what you think of the podcast on Twitter as well. And good luck if you're having a bet on the golf this week. Check out all the markets at williamhill.com and on the app. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week for more action as the tour moves to Florida next week, Dave.
It does, and we're in Oman on the European tour. So I suppose people, listeners have heard that the coronavirus has caused the Maybank on the China Open to be postponed out at the end of April.
Yeah.
So pretty slim pickings on the European tour for a while.
Yeah, as mentioned, it only really kicks in until after the Masters, doesn't it,
yeah,
when we get back on into mainland Europe. Thank you again, Dave, for your company. Thank you, everyone that's
Thank
tuned
you.
In and listened to this podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. And you can check us out on Twitter as well. Look at all the betting at williamhill.com. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week. If you're having a bet on the golf this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.